This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez,
on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution, I can learn to stand alone.
Is it Monday already? I've been told. The calendar says it so. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we're thrilled that you're joining us tonight. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And we would love to hear from you anytime during the show. 312-981-7200. We've got a lot of great things coming up tonight. We have a band in the Allstate Skyline Performance Space setting up right now. That's Bonzo. We'll hear them a little bit after Midnight Live. We'll interview them a little bit before that. And we also have our friends from Alive One. We've got Dr. Bill Miller joining us. Ooh, and I have a pair of tickets to an event coming up. I've got some trivia for you, so you're going to have to call in. We have a pair of tickets, two pairs of tickets, to the Chicago debut of Currents by Tel Aviv-based percussive dance company Mayumna at the Harris Theater on March 20th. So I've got some tickets. It's inspired by the rivalry between Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla. So we're going to have a Thomas Edison trivia question coming up in just a little bit. When you know the answer, 312-981-7 200, call and you will win a pair of tickets to that performance. Joining us in studio right now, I'm thrilled to introduce you to Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society, assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, and we also have joining us John Culver, attorney practicing personal injury and medical malpractice. I was telling them before the show, my boss was like, so why are you having a doctor and a lawyer on? Two reasons. One, they're married. I mean, that's not a reason to have you on together, though, Doc, is it?
Oh, why not?
Sure, why not, John?
Somebody's got to watch somebody.
Somebody's got to watch somebody. But I also thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about what patients should know, a little bit about their rights when it comes to, you know, being treated by a doctor. And, you know, sometimes people want to sue for the sake of suing, or they don't know that there are options. And we all kind of get driven into our corners as to who's right and who's wrong. Right. Let's, for example, there was a woman who was suing an Olive Garden because the mushrooms, have you seen this story, Doc?
No.
The stuffed mushrooms were too hot. Right. Oh. We talked about this last week.
Oh, that'll burn. Yeah.
And it was her throat. Her throat burned so badly, her throat tightened up. And I thought, okay, and people will say, oh, she just wants a lawsuit. There are two things. One, how hot was it, right? Because we know that sometimes temperatures can be scalding to your to your innards, I guess. I don't know what the technical terms of innards
is. Was it safe or unsafe, right?
But the question is, how often do we bite into something knowing it's hot and then continue to keep chewing it?
It depends on how good it is. Pizza.
Excellent point.
Pizza's a great example.
But people do, John, say we're too litigious these days. And what do you think they mean by we're too litigious?
I tend to agree. What it means is people are more willing to sue at the drop of a hat, or to choose it as their first option rather than their last. Many years ago, I worked for a member of parliament in Britain, and one thing that struck me about the role he played in the community, amongst other things, being the representative, is that people would come to the office to resolve disputes. He was considered an objective arbiter, the kind of things that people would sue each other for here, neighbors having a dispute over a tree hanging into your property and things like that. They can, not the sort of things you should be engaging attorneys for. You should be able to work that out. And when they needed a neutral arbiter, they would go to him.
Right.
One distinct difference in Britain as well is that loser pays, which tends to put people off of suing. If you lose the suit, you pay the other folks' lawyers.
Meaning,
too.
If you bring a lawsuit to court, if you lose it, if you're not able to prove your side of it, you then have to pay both the court fees and something to the other person that you've charged.
You would, if they were awarded a judgment, you pay the judgment and you pay their attorney's fees as well as your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's allowed by statute here under certain circumstances. For instance, like the Consumer Fraud Act,
right?
Like a lemon law. But for the most part, you're on your own. Or in the kind of work I do, generally speaking, contingency, where I take my fee out of the award, but I don't get paid if they don't get paid.
Right.
Typically, you bear your own costs in this country.
That's the thing is that, you know, we do think, well, it's also about revenge. It's not always about justice, though. And those are two different things.
They're very distinct.
Yeah. I mean, people kind of get the wrong idea, although justice can feel vengeful.
Well, I don't counsel anybody to do things vindictively. It's typically bad motivation.
Yeah, no doubt about it, but it feels so good.
Yeah, that's also true.
Do you get worked up when you know that your side is righteous?
It's easy to be that way, and you got to believe in your case. You have an obligation of zealous advocacy for a client in any case. So you got to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
When I try cases, you're fired up. You have to be. You'll lose. People will recognize. If you don't believe in your case, why should I?
Right. And I know that being married to each other, Dr. Tynes, we mentioned last time that sometimes you give John some advice as to cases that he should and shouldn't take.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think one of the major distinctions is, you know, bad outcomes don't necessarily mean malpractice. And so you could do everything right in the world in taking care of your patient, and, you know, something bad still might happen, and that's unfortunate, but sometimes it's not preventable. What I do when I'm advising him is just help him figure out what, you know, what was preventable, what wasn't, what could have been foreseen, and what couldn't have. And it helps him to, you know, make better, hopefully better decisions about which cases are worthy.
You saved me a lot of trouble.
Well, it'll save me a lot of trouble if I go to my break on time. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We're hanging out with Dr. Kathy Tynes, the president of the Illinois State Medical Society and assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her at K Tynes on Twitter. You can also visit ISMS.org. And the website we mentioned a couple weeks ago, which I encourage everyone to visit, is MedlinePlus.gov. It's a National Library of Medicine's consumer health information website. We're also hanging out with John Culver, attorney practicing personal injury and medical malpractice. And joining us after the break, we're going to hang out with Dr. Bill Miller, who's got some shows coming up. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the legislation and see what you guys think about Tobacco 21 that has passed in the Illinois General Assembly, because as physicians, you know, people, you know, want to know what you think. Is this really where the direction we should go in? And with a lawyer, you know, are these you know, justified measures? More in a moment on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call or text us. We would love to hear from you. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are thrilled to welcome to the studio Dr. Kathy Tynes, the president of the Illinois State Medical Society, assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes. Also joining us is John Culver. He is an attorney practicing personal injury and medical malpractice, and it's been interesting hearing some thoughts across the console tonight. Dr. Bill Miller joins us. He's also a practicing doctor, and he is a comedian performing at Zany's this Wednesday night in Rosemont. You can go to zanys.com, find out more information. Again, that's this Wednesday night at the Zany's in Rosemont, and then next Wednesday night at the downtown Zany's on the 27th. Hey, Dr. Miller, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ms. Vasquez. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to see you tonight. I thought you two had met before, but apparently your paths have never crossed on the show.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, there are a lot of doctors out there.
Oh, no,
we don't all know each other.
Yeah, but I don't. Yes, but you both know me.
I know.
And you're both regulars on the show.
I know. I have that same problem. I think my friends know each other. I get that. Absolutely. And I'm like, what do you mean you haven't met? What?
Well, we were talking a little bit, you know, before the break about, you know, what patients should know and whether or not they're quick to seek a lawyer and things like that. But off the air, you were both talking a little bit about where you went to school. And I know Dr. Miller has told us some of the horror stories of being a student, and including, were you a resident when you tried to bring someone back to life when they were already well breathing on their own?
I was a student.
You were a student?
I was a student, yeah. And they called the code blue, and I went into the wrong room and defibrillated someone who was sleeping.
Oh, my. That wakes him up.
Not for long.
That's an alarm clock right there.
Oh, no.
Did you have any oh-no moments when you were in med school?
Oh, boy.
We hate to lock them all down. You're like, was that your biggest oh-no moment?
Pretty much.
It's hard to shake that one off. 20 years later, you're like, whoa.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, I can tell you, when I first got the responsibility of being the code team leader, and you had to carry a special pager because it wasn't just anybody who could do that, I slept with my shoes on. I was so paranoid that I would be late getting to that code. And as you know,
right,
you kind of figure out after you've been in the hospital for a while that you really can't hurt a patient who's coding. You can only help them.
Oh,
and once
right.
once you kind of wrap your head around and look at it that way, it takes a lot of pressure off. Then yeah. you can kind of relax and look at the situation and be calmer about it. But it's a nerve-wracking thing.
Well, that makes sense because it is all about making the right decisions rather than making the hurried decisions.
Well, you know, in the emergency room, when I was doing that a lot, they said it. Don't run. Don't get excited. The patient's already dead.
Oh.
Anything you do is a benefit.
Okay.
If you do
right.
anything at all, it's going to help them. It's not like you're, you know, if you don't get there in 7 seconds flat, then it's over.
Right.
You know, they call the code because the guy's gone or the patient is already.
And being able to help must be such a great feeling, too.
Absolutely.
Now, John, you and I are not in a profession. You obviously have to be trained and study and take all the tests and the bars to be a part of the field of law. But early on, though, did you ever feel like, do they know that I just started?
Every day.
Still?
there was a tremendous trepidation when you first go into court when you're just out of school, like you're doing everything wrong, mm-hmm. and then you get what you want, and you don't know how to draft the order, but you're too ashamed to ask anybody. You go to a deposition, no matter how much you prepare the moment you walk out, you think of a question you should have asked that you had to ask, I don't know the answer. It's basically the kind of nerves I think that you would get in almost any job, telling
right.
the truth. And you learn by doing, and you get familiar with things, and you get better at it.
Well, and it's interesting that we actually, as I mentioned before, that there's an intersection here of health and law, because the General Assembly in the state of Illinois has decided to pass legislation that says that you cannot buy tobacco if you are under the age of 21. And there are a lot of people who feel like this is a step in the right direction. We had a lot of texters last week when Representative Feigenholz was talking about this, and they said, this is just a culture war. You know, if you're 18, you're old enough to go off to war. But we've already decided and accepted as a society that drinking at 21 is the legal age, right? And yes, we know that people are going to break the law, and we, you know, have a system in place to say, you know, don't sell, don't buy, these are the penalties. What do you guys think about 21 and over for tobacco? Dr. Miller?
You know, I think in theory it's great. In mm-hmm. theory it's great. It should be 20, maybe even 25. But I'm serious. Maybe even
okay.
25.
Wow.
Because you have a little more judgment when the older you get. However, if you look at the practicality of this thing, mm-hmm. to enforce that. I mean, remember when we were all kids? Okay, no one ever did this out there in Radio Land, but you waited by the 7-Eleven to give some guy an extra couple bucks if he bought you a six-pack. Okay, now you were nowhere near drinking age, and people did it. What do you think is going to happen now with cigarettes? That's even easier in the person who is going to commit that felony or that crime to get a cigarette for a kid who wants to smoke. I think the enforcement of that is going to be phenomenal.
Right. Well, I don't even know how hard they're going to enforce it. What do you think, Dr. Titus?
Well, we card people now.
Right.
I mean, at age 18, this is just the same mechanism. My personal feeling is the harder you make it for a kid to start smoking and to smoke with any regularity, because what we're really trying to prevent is nicotine addiction. Nicotine addiction is a really hard thing to quit. So if we can keep more cigarettes out of hands of teenagers, we know that if you start smoking as a teen, you're more likely to continue smoking as an adult. It's going to be much harder to pick up that habit if you're already 21 and never smoked, or have only smoked sporadically. But if you've developed a habit where, you know, you're smoking with regularity, then you're going to be addicted to nicotine. And it's the same thing with vaping and e-cigarettes. So these are also going to be restricted to people 21 and over. And this has not been signed into law yet. So
right.
I
think Pritzker will, though.
Yes.
I mean, this is, by the way, Dr. Miller, you know, you and I know as comics, when we used to walk out on that stage and it would just be filled with smoke.
Right.
I think
right.
that the move toward limiting, you know, where people can smoke, and I think also culturally,
I think that's helped.
Yeah, it has.
I think that's helped a lot. And if you look at teenage smoking, it's gone down for the last, I don't know how many number of years. But I mean, they're trying to stop narcotic addiction. They're trying to stop drug addiction. They're trying to stop alcoholism with all our efforts and all our laws. And how's that working? I don't think it's working all that good. I mean, I just, I'm all for it in theory, but if you look, they can't even pay the budget now. They can't. How are they going to get the money to start enforcing all that stuff? Well, you're going to see kids on the street smoking cigarettes. Cops are going to go out, chase them, bring them to the station. How much resources are we going to use to enforce that?
It's going to be the same as it is now.
I think,
they're just going to check an ID when they're purchasing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a different date that they're looking for. It's actually going to be easier. It's going to be the same date that they would look for alcohol. So I respectfully disagree. I think, you know, the more you can delay.
That's why you're the head of the Illinois Society of Medicine. And I'm telling jokes at Zanies on Wednesday.
That's right. Dr. Miller will be at the Zanies on Wells on the 27th of March. And he'll be at the Zanies in Rosemont this Wednesday. You can go to zanies.com. Let's continue our conversation after the break. We've got more to talk about. I want to talk about social media and mental health. And it also affects the way we do comedy now that people can Yelp it or, you know, rate us or, you know, comment when we're on stage. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. Join the conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. It's Music Monday, and coming up in just a little bit from the Allstate Skyline Performance Space, we have the Bonzo Squad Band. They're going to be performing some great live music, and we want to find out more about their collaboration with Alive One, some weekly music that you want to know about. In studio, we have Dr. Bill Miller. He is a doctor and a comedian. I knew you first as a doctor. Well, I've never known you as a doctor, although you've been very kind.
You've been very lucky.
You've been very kind with advice over the years when it comes to my kids and you know, encouraging me to get second opinions and things like that. And also, you were very generous with sending me the laundry services from Rinse, which was like the best thing I got when Declan was in the hospital. I highly encourage, if you know anybody who's going through something that they're just trying to, you know, keep their wits together, buy them gift cards to Rinse and have someone else do their laundry for them. It's a pickup and return delivery service. It's great. It's the best thing I ever, like the best gift I've ever gotten.
It's very thoughtful.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you so much, Dr. Bill Miller, for that. Dr. Bill Miller is at Zanies this Wednesday night in Rosemont. You can go to zanies.com. You can also catch him next Wednesday night at the Zanies downtown on Wells. Joining us in studio as well is a practicing attorney, John Culver. We're going to talk a little bit later on about what your lawyer wishes you knew. And I don't know. I've had a few lawyers in my time, so I want to know what I should have known when we come back later with that.
We'll tell you.
But you want to tell me everything?
I'll tell you important stuff.
Why won't you tell? I need you to tell me everything.
It's trade secrets.
Oh, no.
Otherwise, I'll talk my way out of a job. Wouldn't be the first time.
And Dr. Kathy Tynes, maybe both Dr. Kathy Tynes and Dr. Bill Miller can tell us what you wish patients knew. Dr. Kathy Tynes is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society and assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You know, Dr. Bill Miller has told us in the past that you have talked about how people can be honest about what they're doing to themselves. Because we tend to, like, underemphasize.
Right. Denial.
We were in denial, yes.
Total denial.
And it doesn't help us when we're in the exam.
We're in total denial. And at one time I was in the emergency department, a guy came in, his tongue, he had some type of tumor on his tongue. His tongue was hanging out of his mouth. It looked like a forearm was growing out of his mouth. I said, "Why are you here?" And he goes, "My shoulder hurts."
My what hurts?
Shoulder hurts.
My shoulder hurts.
Wow.
I said, doesn't your tongue bother you? No, I can feel it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's the extent of the denial.
Wow. I guess, yeah.
And maybe he had metastases to his bone, which...
Right.
Might have been the cause of his shoulder pain.
Shoulder pain,
see,
yeah.
See, you're thinking like a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
Not like a comedian.
What do you wish patients knew, Dr. Tynes?
Well, this came up just recently. Know what your allergies are, and not just what the name of the drug is, but what was your reaction. And it can make a huge difference in how I'm able to treat you if you have an infection. And, oh, I'm allergic to penicillin. Oh, what's your reaction to penicillin?
It makes me weird.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, honestly, if they can tell me that, that's great. I can work with that. But a lot of times people say, I don't know. I was told since I was a kid.
Yes. My mom did that because she was allergic.
Yeah.
But that's not the worst, because there are alternatives to penicillin. My pet peeve is, are you taking any medicine? Oh, yes. I'm taking a lot of medicines. What are they? Well, I take a pill for my pressure. What is it? I don't know. It's a blue one. It's round. You've got to know what it is. It's a blue. No.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Yes. Take pictures of your pill bottles.
Yes. Give me a.
Bring them in.
Down on a piece of paper and keep it in your pocket or your spouse's pocket or someone's pocket. Because I'm taking a pressure for my cholesterol, a pill for my cholesterol, and I'm taking another pill for my lungs. Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to write down lung pill, water pill.
Right. And then there's a pink one that I was told if I stop taking it, I'll die.
Right.
Oh, no.
So that's what people say.
I take pictures of all my bottles just in case.
Yeah.
If I'm traveling or something, especially for Declan, because I can never pronounce his medication.
Right. Yeah, nowadays, it's easy to do. Keep it in your phone.
And then what I like to say, it's all on the record.
In another hospital in another state.
Right.
That's the thing. We've talked about that before where we assume that if we are seeing a doctor, then that gets shared and you have all the information in front of you.
Yeah. And even if a doctor's on staff at my hospital, if they don't have the same electronic medical record, I don't have any access to their records, their charts.
I'll bet you Facebook knows more about your medical history than your doctor.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, people put all their pictures of wounds and surgeries. I've seen so many pictures of things, and I'm like,
oversharing.
And you know what I found out? It's kind of like a pet peeve for doctors. If you want to share, people come in and let's say they have a symptom, pain, right abdominal pain, right shoulder pain, and they'll look it up online. They'll Google it. They'll get a couple of things from Wikipedia. They'll get a little differential diagnosis, a couple possibilities. Then they come in and they tell you that they have this pain, and you work it up, you examine them, and then you say, well, I think it could be this and this. And they go, well, what about this, this, and this? Because they know they've read the list.
Sure.
And you only told it to, well, I don't think it's that. Really? How many of these have you seen?
Oh, boy. Ooh.
And they start,
my goodness.
They start trying to catch you as opposed to getting your
input, right?
Your expertise.
Wow.
I mean, there's a basic trust that has to be established between any patient and a professional, whether it be a lawyer, an attorney, a physician, a dentist, any healthcare provider, any professional. You have to trust that they know more than you about that.
Well, that's the thing, is we have access to so much information. I'm guessing clients do that to you as well, John, where they've Googled it.
Yeah, but along the same vein, what drives me nuts is when you're not trusted, not just for your superior expertise, since I went to school for this and I'm paying loans and whatnot, but I need to know everything about the case and the background. I found out recently from a client that I'm his third lawyer. Well, he didn't bother to tell me that.
Oh, dear.
That certainly is a factor in determining whether I want to take the case when he's burned through a couple of other guys. Presumably, they were intelligent and knew what they were doing and withdrew for a reason.
Yep.
And I'd like to know that. I shouldn't have to ask you that.
Well, if the first guy was LegalZoom, then you're okay.
That gives you that half credit.
But we call that a second opinion in medicine, right? Yeah. Second opinion, third opinion. Yeah.
You know what? I'm so glad that Judy called in. Judy, I have some information for you.
Okay.
So it was Noble Watch and Fine Jewelry Repair Services on Milwaukee Avenue that you were calling about last week.
Yes. You know how I found out?
How?
I called TCF Bank, and she knew it, so she gave it to me, and I wrote it down in Braille.
I totally forgot to mention it on the air because I took a picture of it. Here, Dr. Tynes, I took a picture of the storefront of the place that Judy was asking about last week.
Oh, cool.
So Judy is visually impaired, and she has a question for you, your thoughts on a situation that she's run into. Go ahead, Judy.
I was wondering about your opinion. Whenever you went into any pharmacy in Chicago, if you have an order for prescriptions, is it ever possible that the pharmacy could label the bottles in Braille?
That's a stumper. I'm not aware.
Get my medication when I order through mail. I order through OptumRx, and I get my medication in Braille. But last week, they sent me, I take Dilantin and I take Gabapentin. So they sent me bottles, and I didn't know which one was which because, Dilantin and Gabapentin feel exactly alike. And I said, so I had to ask my neighbor. She said, no, these are all Dilantin.
Oh, wow.
And because, a lot of pills, they feel exactly alike, and you can't tell the difference. And I said, they all assume that blind people have caregivers.
Right.
And I don't, but I manage pretty well because I have good neighbors that help me, and I try to do the same.
Well, that's, you know, that not a topic that's come up in my practice, but it's really good to be aware of, and I appreciate you bringing that up, and I'm going to have to research that a little bit, and maybe that might be something we could work on at the medical society, because that certainly seems like an obvious thing that pharmacies should be able to provide.
I know. They want you to use this machine called ScriptTalk, where they put the writing of the pill, the bottle, on the bottom, and then if you, let's say you went to somebody's house to stay, you always have to bring the machine with you to know what you're taking. And then it just talks out loud. You put the bottle on the right side up, you just put it on the machine, and it says out loud what it is. But I just feel that since I could read Braille, I'd rather just have them labeled in Braille because it's easier.
And I would imagine that the machine is not that portable to bring with you in your purse for you to take your pills when you're out of the house.
Cumbersome, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Judy.
Thank you
it's
very
always
much.
Always good to hear from you.
For the store name, too, again.
Yeah, sorry, but I didn't get that to you sooner.
It's okay.
Have a good night.
Night.
Thank you. Dr. Bill Miller, do you find that you have to stay on top of, like, any of the new developments or legislation and things like that? Or just kind of, you know, you've kind of got in your practice, you're able to do what's in front of you?
Pretty much. I mean, the biggest change we had to do was the HIPAA, some of the sterilization of the hands, you know, the cleanliness, the antisepsis endeavors, steps you have to take.
Right. And I love that you combine, you know, your ability to continue practicing medicine and also do stand-up comedy. And I bet, you know, people in the audience appreciate being able to watch somebody who, like, you know, it's a slice of life they've never had the opportunity to, you know, enjoy themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And lately I've kind of combined the two a lot. I bring someone on stage and examine them. I don't have them put on the gown. I just, you know, they could use their street clothes. It's fine. But and then I explain what really goes on in a physical examination. And I do it comedically.
Really?
And, yeah.
Oh, we learned. It's just a little bit of a lesson, a humorous lesson as well.
It is.
Everyone can check out Dr. Bill Miller. He'll be at Zanies on Wells the 27th of March, as well as Zanies in Rosemont this Wednesday night.
Correct.
You can go to zanies.com for more information. Do you have how do you want people to find you otherwise?
drbillmiller.biz.
drbillmiller.biz. You and I got into the claiming our names a little late to the game, didn't we?
Yeah, very much so. Actually, there's a Bill Miller... .com that's a dentist somewhere in Georgia.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he beat
that guy
by like a year. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some kid in California named Patty Vasquez who took the Twitter handle.
Oh,
really? I did not get that fast.
There's at least four lawyers named John Culver. At least. They're all over the country.
We are at a disadvantage. Well, yeah. Dr. Miller, it was great to see you tonight.
Patty,
I will see you again
me.
Soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you for hanging out
Thank
late
you.
With us. Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
We're going to check out our friends. We're going to hang out with our friends from the band Bonzo Squad in just a few minutes, and our friends from Alive One. We're going to check in with David Halpern in just a moment on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Dr. Tynes, you know, whenever I have a doctor on, I feel like the listeners want to call in or text with some thoughts. I'm not sure what this is, but this looks like a wine bottle that ended up someplace. Unfortunate. I mean, how does that even happen?
Oh.
We have in studio with us David Halpern from Alive One, and I don't know why that photo came up on my screen. Can you see that, John?
Perfect. Yeah, that takes persistence.
That's a wine bottle. Is that a whole wine bottle?
Watch
do you think?
Where you sit there. I had an uncle who was an ER doc, and he used to regale us with hilarious stories of things he had to extract from various orifi. And suffice to say, you can't believe those things could fit in there.
Yeah, no, it's surprising. The human body is fascinating, isn't it?
A light bulb?
No.
I mean, seriously.
But the thing is, like, even if you get it in successfully, chances are the extraction will be unsuccessful.
Well, it's the panic. I got it in there. You go to the ER because you want to get it out, and you can't.
Right.
Not without breaking it.
No.
Like a light bulb.
Wow. Okay, let's pivot from the photo that came across my. Hi, David. How are you doing tonight?
I'm a bit horrified.
Are you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring you in for the first time in our brand new, fancy showcase studio and horrify you. That was
my intention. Your new spot.
Isn't it great?
I do. It's phenomenal.
Tell us about Bonzo Squad and what you've got coming up at Alive One, because you have some of the greatest joints in Chicago.
Oh well, that's nice of you. It's another great band in a succession of great Thursday resident bands that I truly feel honored to have at our place. You know, honestly, it's amazing young musicians in the city of Chicago that we somehow stumbled upon this little scene in our little back room. So they are a phenomenal, talented band that fits exactly what we've been doing for years, which is having phenomenal young bands in the back room. So,
well, that's the thing about Chicago, and I know that Dr. Tynus and John are you guys love the music scene in Chicago.
Huge have
you
been music fans? Yeah.
Have you been here for Music Monday yet?
No, I have not.
Well, so now you are.
Now
you're
I
here
am.
For Music Monday with Woo-hoo. Bonzo Squad.
Yes,
and I know it took us a while to lock down a date. So I'm glad that I'm so happy you were patient with me. I know. What's Music Monday? And now that I'm booking it, it's like I have to make sure everything is, you know, weeks out and stuff like that.
I was mad at you for a while.
I know. I could feel it. I felt like there was some tension between us.
No, I mean we hugged it out.
You did.
Yeah, I feel good.
My husband's okay with it. I got a hall pass for
my
hugs.
Wife's fine too with it too.
Excellent.
I called her. It's good.
Tell us about Alive One, and this is—it's not just Alive One. You've got other destinations in Chicago.
Yeah, we have Alive One, Estelle's, Easy Bar, The Owl, and Remedy is our newest. All of them sort of have a local feel, very tied to music and artistry, and very laid back, unpretentious, so we're excited.
My Friday night go-to, not every Friday night, but when I have a couple of friends that live in near Remedy, and so they will message me, and they're like, hey, because it's a later bar, it's a 4 a.m.
It is.
There's a cocktail, and you guys took off the Old Fashioned. There was an Old Fashioned a few weeks ago that I love, but the Ass Hatton is unbelievable.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that's the name of the drink. I don't know what to tell you about that.
My partner's going
to
love that you brought that up, yes.
It is the best. I have to say it's one of the best cocktails I've had in a long time. I can only have one because otherwise I would be on my own ass.
Yes.
But it's spectacular.
I'm glad that you have tried that.
That's why I got, did you see me get up on my toes? I was
I'm
like,
so
I have
excited.
To tell you about, I have to talk to you about Remedy.
My partner Ben created one cocktail in his entire life and it took the city by storm. He literally was named best cocktail by the Chicago Reader.
Yeah.
He worked for years on it.
Well done, my friend.
A phenomenal happy hour 5 days a week there that is certainly worth checking out. For a late night bar, you'd be shocked.
Well, here's the thing. We always have the same spot, and they've got great on Friday nights. It's, you know, great retro old school music. You know, whether it's a disco or, you know, you've got Whitney. You know, and you know, I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. You guys have been here for that. I do. I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. And my friends like Elliot will be sitting there like, come on, you know who this is? I'm like, I have no idea who this is singing. Yeah. So
it's fun. It's a party at 4 or 5 o'clock. It's a lot of fun.
It's one of my favorite bars.
And
in the
it's
city.
Still daylight coming through. It's pretty cool. Scene.
It's a great.
We're pretty proud of it.
What nights is it 4 a.m.? Just Friday and Saturday?
4 a.m. every night of the week, 5 a.m. on Saturdays.
I'm going to stop all the way home for Ass Hatton.
Come on by. Seriously.
It is dangerous.
It's the best cocktail I've had.
Wow.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
That's really good to hear.
Well, we had the Old Fashioned a few weeks ago, and Elliot and I were like, oh, this is amazing. I didn't think you could top it, and yet there you did.
Well, you know what? You're making someone's day. My partner is extremely happy.
Well, there you go. And Estelle's is a great joint. You have so many great destinations. We had Nasty Snacks here a few weeks ago, and you were celebrating Mardi Gras. They did a phenomenal job here, too.
Thank you. It was a great segment.
Yeah. Well, you guys do a great job of lining up talent, obviously.
Well, you know, I thank you for that. Yeah. But they are a great, great group. And Ryan works for us on the marketing side, which is, you know, I mean, he's multi-talented.
It's all good stuff. Well, we're going to hear some live music in just a few moments from Bonzo Squad. They are setting up in the Allstate's Skyline Performance Space. We're going to talk some more medicine and law and great destinations for food and drink with our good friend David Halpern in studio. I know you have a joint in Cincinnati still, too, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we got a bunch of joints in Cincinnati.
A bunch of joints in Cincinnati. They can hear us right now. I told you that last time.
I know they're up.
Yeah, they're all up.
WKRP. Are we allowed to say that?
Yes, of course. You're encouraged to say that. You are. I am Johnny Fever. Venus Flytrap will be on
nice.
Next. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
It is Music Monday, and we are so thrilled to have in studio with us in the Allstate Performance Space, we have Bonzo Squad. They're going to be playing every Thursday night at Alive One. They can go to aliveone.com and find out more information, not just about the band, but about all the great events and specials they have going on at Alive One. Here right now, playing live with a pair of jacks, is Bonzo Squad. We'll be right back. was Bonzo Squad. They're live in our Allstate performance space, and we're so thrilled to have them in studio for Music Monday. You can catch them every Thursday night at Alive One. And for those who are maybe not familiar with where Alive One is, David Halpern, tell us where they can find Alive One.
2683 North Halsted.
That was amazing. How much fun was that?
These guys are so good.
They are really
good. That's fun to watch.
How, you know, has music always been an integral part of your, all the spots that you've opened up across the country?
Yeah, I mean, especially a live one. It was based on all live recorded music. So when we started doing the Thursday residency, it started out as a customer appreciation thing, and it sort of turned into this little budding young musician scene that we're super proud. I mean, I was so proud listening to that. I mean, that's phenomenal.
That was great. Yeah, they sounded wonderful. Wasn't that fun to be? I was like, come on in, Dr. Tynus. Come on in, John. That was a lot of fun.
There's some dancing going on, too. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My toe was tapping. My booty was shaking. Everything.
I liked it.
It's good for your health.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It gets my blood moving.
It's all good
breathing
stuff.
Heavy. It's aerobic.
Oh, you know what? I can't forget this tonight. I, on top of everything else, all the fun that we're having tonight in studio with our guests, I want to remind everybody, coming up in I have a pair of tickets to give away for something that you guys cannot miss. This is a unique opportunity to catch Currents. It's the debut of a percussion-based dance company that's Tel Aviv. The dance company is Mayumana at the Harris Theater on March 20th. And 312-981-7200. I do have a trivia question for you, because this production was inspired by the historical Battle of Currents between Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla in their quest for finding energy sources for the world. So it's a combination of specialty instruments, percussive dance, world-class performers, and storytelling through lights, sounds, and visual effects. So I thought we should do a trivia question. And I could do like about Thomas Edison himself, but as everyone knows, the only way I learn anything is by watching movies. So 312-981-7200, who played young Tom Edison in the 1940 film Young Tom Edison? So what actor played young Tom Edison? 312-981-7200, and we will give you a pair of tickets to go see the debut in Chicago of Currents by Tel Aviv-based percussive dance company Mayumana. So give us a call at 312-981-7200. You know what I find when I see a name that's hard to pronounce? If you say it with confidence, it's correct.
Sure, absolutely. Who's going to argue with you?
That's what I've decided. Yes, I'm not going to stumble over it. So 312-981-7200. What actor played the young Tom Edison in the 1940 film Young Tom Edison? I believe the phone line has already started ringing. Mm. See, you didn't think people would know.
It's definitely not my phone ringing.
You didn't call? You didn't call with that? No. See, but you had time to Google it.
I know the answer.
Do you really? Did you Google it?
If you know it, yeah, I did.
Did you?
but if you know anything about films at that time, it's the guy.
It's the guy. This is the guy that would do it. This is the guy that would do it.
In 1940?
Hey, Jeff, who played the young Tom Edison in 1940?
That would be Andy Rooney.
Try again. One more to do. You're half right.
Andy Rooney, or Mickey Rooney.
There
it is.
I knew you knew what you meant.
Yes, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, it was Mickey Rooney. Had you seen the movie?
Sure, years ago.
Years ago, yeah. Yes. Mickey Rooney, as John was alluding to, at that time, Mickey Rooney's like playing every young actor, you know, every young character in Hollywood. So hold on the line, Jeff. We've got a pair of tickets for you to go see this Chicago debut of Currents by Tel Aviv-based percussive dance company Mayumana. So we're gonna give away another pair of tickets in the next half hour. So maybe I will find a Tesla trivia question. I couldn't find very many movies about him. So. You would think at this point, David, by now you should have made like some big movie about either one of them. Have you ever seen a movie about Thomas Edison?
I don't think I have.
Right? It seems like it's ripe for the picking.
I'm just thinking of Andy Rooney and Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney,
and
yeah.
Peach Dragon.
Exactly. I was thinking Mickey Rooney in Black Stallion when we were kids.
Oh,
that was a big movie.
Black Stallion is great.
Love that movie.
He did all the Andy Hardy stuff.
That's right. It was the Andy Hardy movies. Yeah, so that's why I think Jeff was mixing those two things up.
But before he died, he was in the Night at the Museums as well.
Oh, that's right. He was in Night at the Museums. Uh-huh. Not playing Tom Edison, though. Not playing Thomas Edison.
No, crotchy old janitor, basically.
Yes, crotchy old janitor.
Or as my dad called him, Ricky Mooney.
Oh, no.
Nice.
See, it's a combination of everything. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio hanging out with Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society and assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes or visit ismsmedicine.org to find out about the great work that they do. I also want to come back to something that we talked about a few weeks ago, which is medlineplus.gov. Now, David, do you ever try to Google your symptoms and think that you know what you're, like, just self-diagnosing?
I mean, my wife does all the time.
Tell her to go to this website. This is okay. The only one. Yeah.
What is it?
It's medlineplus.gov.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's hosted by the National Library of Medicine, and it is their consumer-oriented medical website. So everything that you're going to find on there has been vetted. It's nobody trying to sell you something.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of these other websites, there's a lot of misinformation, either, you know, someone having an axe to grind or an agenda, or they're trying to sell you something. So if you go to this website, you know what you're going to find is accurate, is you know, completely unbiased.
Good to know.
Yeah. And when we come back after the, we have hear some more music from Bonzo Squad. I do want to talk about allergies a little bit too. I know that this isn't, but I know people, I'm surprised that there are folks that come into your office and are like, I'm not really sure what I'm allergic to. You mentioned it earlier with penicillin. People, you know, kind of say, you know, they've been told, their parents maybe said, oh, you're allergic to, you know,
right.
And bees just, or penicillin. Or,
yeah, just because your parent had an allergy doesn't mean that you will. So, yeah, there are a lot of misconceptions and myths about allergies, for sure.
And before we go to the break, John, is there a website people should look for legal information, or are they better off always getting professional help?
You can always Google a statute.
Right.
Every law on the books and some that aren't are available to be looked up.
Right.
But you may or may not understand it. A lawyer can always help you interpret it. I think a well-drafted law, which is generally speaking most of them nowadays,
right,
you should be able to comprehend, as opposed to, say, like the Second Amendment, which still makes no sense.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that. No, let's not get in any trouble with some of our listeners.
Uh-oh. It's just, I'm not to denigrate what it stands for, but the way it's written, it doesn't make any sense.
And we will continue to argue about that for a long time. Doc, one more time, there's a listener from the 312 that's interested in knowing the name of the medical website.
Medline Plus, all one word, .gov, G-O-V.
That's M-E-D, M is in medicine, medlineplus.gov, MEDLINEPLUS.gov. And we'll also talk a little bit about insulinhelp.org as well. But before we do all of that, we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear some more live music from Bonzo Squad. They're playing every Thursday night at Alive One. And you can go to AliveOne.com for more information. Go to Remedy any night of the week. They have when's your happy hour at Remedy?
Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m.
4 to 7.
Yeah.
If you don't like the ass hat, I don't know if we can be friends, folks. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. in Alive One's back room, they've got Bonzo Squad playing live music. There is no cover, but we've got them right here tonight for Music Monday. Here they are playing Remedy.
Thank you.
That's Bonzo Squad with Remedy. They freaked me out. I was like, they did like a dead stop, and I was like, wait a minute, you guys freaked me out. Sorry about that. Like, I don't know if anybody heard me scream in the middle of that, but I was like, I gotta get back in the other studio. Outstanding job. I want to interview a few of you guys if you want to come in a little bit later. We'll hear more from Bonzo Squad. They're playing every Thursday night at Alive One. There's no cover. It's their back room, and it starts at 9 p.m. And live music at Alive One started in 2000, I'm reading. You've been doing music, live music for a long time over there.
Long time. Yeah.
They're great.
I know.
Now, how many have you had? Do you have other resident bands at other locations, or is this?
This is it. I mean, this has been, I think they're probably the sixth resident band we've had in 18 years. So
wow.
It's about a 2 to 3 year residency. Not that we say you're done after 3 years,
right.
But
just, you know,
it's time for you to go out, sell some tickets. You guys are ready. They hone their craft at
right.
a live one. They gain their confidence. They play together as a band, and off they go.
Sounds good. By the way, you guys in the I have your mics on in the they're packing up stuff. This is the band sounds like the Jeff Lorber Fusion. Does that sound familiar to you guys?
Oh yeah.
Jeff Lorber Fusion. This is a compliment, kind of jazz fusion to me. It's
They opened for Pat Metheny back in the 80s.
There you go.
It's kind of the stuff.
I'm telling you.
I date myself, but yes, I saw him.
It's a counterbalance to my appalling lack of musical knowledge.
Hey.
This guy will stump you every time.
Oh, really?
Oh, we play Name That Tune.
I am a stump.
Every Saturday morning flashback, in the first two or three notes, he knows the name of the band.
Is he like Daniel Stern in Diner?
Yeah,
a
little bit. He's a little aggressive about it. Yeah. Wow. So
he's got all his albums.
He's like, come on, you have to know this. Come on. And I'm like, I know, I don't. I'm tired. I just had my coffee.
Side two, fourth track.
Glad he knew a live one. I mean, that made my day, too.
There you go. You
know. It's a great place, actually.
Thank you very much.
It's an excellent neighborhood bar.
Thank you very much.
You don't have to live in the neighborhood, but if you do, you're lucky to be there.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
They've got you've got all kinds of great places. Estelle's. Do you have a favorite? Is one of your locations your baby?
One was our first. It's the one that... you know, blood, sweat, and tears every single day. It's hard to replace that experience, but I love them all. I wouldn't open it if I didn't love it.
That's a good point.
You know,
so you've also got the Owl, Keystone Bar and Grill, the Righteous Room. Are these all?
Oh, those are Cincinnati.
Yeah. I was gonna say
the Owl, Chicago. In Chicago, we got a live one, Estelle's, Easy Bar, the Owl, and Remedy. Yeah,
and the Owl is cool too. We also go to the Owl sometimes.
Nice.
It depends. It's at Milwaukee.
It
right?
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the parking around there.
Well,
that can be tough.
Yes.
The other night it wasn't too bad, but there's something that happens at like we're gonna get towed at 2 a.m. on Milwaukee Avenue.
Oh yeah, well we have signs up to tell you that. I mean, that's not our rule. That's just
I was standing on Milwaukee Avenue trying to find where the signs were for no parking.
Yeah, certain times of the year, after 2 o'clock you get towed.
Because they're cleaning the streets, don't you know?
Yeah, it's more
at 2 a.m. on Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's a money grab. Yeah.
But the crew there is very good about letting you know. I was like, what? I gotta go move my car.
Yes.
And it wasn't too bad.
Yes. Yeah. Too many people have been told, you know, surprisingly, so we let them know.
Yeah, no, you're very helpful.
There's
with
a big
that.
Sign in the front that says, you will be towed these months.
I didn't see that sign.
Yeah, well.
But the guys at the door, the bouncers let us know.
Yeah, well. Let's try to be informative.
Oh, absolutely. More in a moment with our guests. We have Dr. Kathy Tynes in studio. I'm going to see which one of these topics you want to do, but I think social media and mental health.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was a really good point made on John Oliver's show last night. I don't know if you saw with Monica Lewinsky.
No, I missed it.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about social media and mental health in a little bit. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio. John Culver joins us, attorney at law, and David Halpern, the proprietor, the owner of Owl, Remedy, Alive One, and Estelle's.
Easy Bar.
And Easy Bar.
You got it.
And more in a moment with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio and thrilled to bring you Music Monday every Thursday night at a live one. You can hear Bonzo Squad playing at 9 p.m. There is no cover, but we're thrilled to have them here in the Allstate Skyline performance space. Here they are with Abby's Toy Piano. Thursday night at a live one. They're live in our Allstate performance space tonight. We're thrilled to have them. That was Abby's Toy Piano. We're going to check in with them in just a few minutes and find out more about the band members. And you can go to aliveone.com to find out more about their Thursday night appearances. Again, they are the resident band at Alive One every Thursday night, 9 p.m., no cover. It's a bargain. Come and enjoy yourselves. You have to, like, release the stress. You know, go out, be around other people. That's one of the reasons why we do Wellness Wednesdays. Tonight's more of a medical Monday, Dr. Tynus.
Yep.
I had to flip it a little bit because... I'm going to make the guys really awkward. We're going to talk a little bit about mental health and social media, but I'm taking off all of next week. You and I have talked about what I'm getting done. But there are a lot of guys who get really uncomfortable or don't understand why, and women too, when a woman decides to have a breast reduction surgery. And the thing is that I was so encouraged by what you told me last time, was that you've never had a patient who regretted it.
Yep. That is absolutely true.
And one of the things that I found is that I didn't realize how high the rates of depression is with women who have large breasts, who are uncomfortable, who are in a lot of pain. I have from my ear all the way down to my left ring finger. It's like a pinched nerve. I can't ride bikes and things like that because the pressure hurts too much.
It's a heavy weight on your shoulders. Yeah. No pun intended.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm oddly excited about that. And people get really uncomfortable. They're like, I don't know if you should be telling me that, but I want people to know that it's medically necessary. It was approved. If it wasn't, my insurance company wouldn't approve it.
Right.
And David's trying very hard. He's like, I don't know where I'm supposed to look right now. you hugged me earlier. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, if you see, I mean, you notice that I always wear jackets or t-shirts and things like that. I get, and I'll dress up once in a while, but it's really hard to shop. And that's something I've been considering sharing the sort of journey on social media, but I don't know if that will help or hurt or be beneficial at all. I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about social media and mental health. What are some of the things that you're encountering when it comes to the way we use social media?
Well, so actually a recent study has shown that there's an association between increased social media use and, unfortunately, increased rates of depression in young adults.
Aww.
So this appeared in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology, and it showed that young adults that were born since 1995 experienced negative psychological symptoms at much higher rates than earlier generations.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest spike in symptoms occurred in 2010, 2011, which is when around the time social media really became pervasive.
Especially Facebook, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Facebook, and now I can't even keep up with what my kids are on, Snapchat and Instagram. But they've seen an increase in major depression and suicidal thoughts. There's data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, which has looked at drug and alcohol use, mental health, and other health-related issues in individuals over age 12. And what they found was that the rate of young adults with suicidal thoughts increased 47% from 2008 to 2017. They also found that young people aren't sleeping as much as previous generations. It's hard to say that whether there's a cause and effect. There's certainly an association. There may be some
correlation.
Correlation. There may be some other mitigating factor. But certainly one of the things that we would recommend is limiting your screen time. You know, don't get up and check your Facebook first thing in the morning and right before you go to bed. And parents need to model this, myself and my hubby included.
I do better about
that. I know. No smartphones within an hour of bedtime because it interferes with your ability to fall asleep. Exercise, of course, can help fight depressive symptoms. Mm-hmm. And real-life social activities can help fight feelings of loneliness and isolation. So get out there. Go hang out.
Go to a live one, yes. Well, I think that actually you make a good point about setting an example is that even Steve and I don't really go out and do a lot of social things together. We should be giving that as an example to Griffin so that, you know, he knows that, like, you take time for your relationship and, you know, take time with your friends, socialize.
Absolutely.
Rather than, Ro, were you here the night that I found out? No, I think it was producer Tom Hush. When I found out how much Griffin is actually, like, I thought that I had kept him, you know, sort of his privacy guarded, that there was nothing out there about him. And I found out that he had been posting stuff on a website. And like, but it's basically like I'll show you during the break, but he's philosophizing and talking about religion and politics, but he's using his real name. Right. And I'm like, you don't want to like put all that out there.
Yeah.
Legally, are you finding that there are clients who are either hurting themselves or helping themselves by their participation in social media, John?
If you're defending a case, years ago, a good way to snuff out somebody's injury claim is you could do surveillance.
Right.
Now, there's privacy issues with that. That can be very invasive, and I had cases that went very south on defendants because they were invading people's privacy. Nowadays, when you're advertising your lack of injury on social media, you're claiming you have a bad back, but you've got pictures of your ski trip.
Right.
Well, if I'm defending the case, I'm going to make sure the jury sees that.
Right.
So this is sort of a long answer to yes, people certainly can if they're not smart.
Right. Well, and then there are ways to use it to your advantage. By the way, Doc, one of our listeners says thank you so much for the Medline Plus site. There's too much garbage out there to weed through on other sites, so
oh,
they
I'm
appreciate
so glad.
That information. And I'll bet for Alive One and all the like Estelle's and Owl and Remedy. I don't know that we've posted. I think we've posted something from Remedy, but does it help to like have that sort of buzz? You know, folks, you know, taking a picture of their cocktails or having a good time. I bet you it does.
Yeah, it's a necessary evil, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's funny because we brainstorm ideas, and one of my personal ideas was to have a no device night.
Oh,
and it's tough well, to sell that to the younger generation. Like the younger people in the company are like, what?
You know what you could do? How about if you
chop off my arm?
Well, how about if you gamified it? Like for the longer, like for each round, like but it's kind of you have to be honest about it, right? The longer you leave your device on the table, you get a dollar off for drink or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean like we're not gonna like call you out. Like we're not gonna throw you out.
Can I be the person that goes around and calls people out?
If we can have you participate in the night, it'd be awesome. But like, can you imagine if everyone had their phone away? You know, the entire night, like We used to sit around and we were our own entertainment for each other, our friends. And
whatnot.
You know, maybe there was a game of pool here or there. It's like the interactive generation. Like, they need stimulation. It'd be nice to attempt a night like that against the grain, to be honest.
I will say at Remedy, I feel like I'm on my phone more than the folk. Like, on a Friday night at Remedy, like 1:32 in the morning, people are there dancing, having a good time, and I'm the one, like, going, oh, I wonder what's going on. So I have to say, the folks that come out to your joints are having a good time.
That's true.
By the way, John from the 815, I won my custody case because of social media. The son's mom couldn't stop with bad things on Facebook. So it's a word of the wise. Be careful.
You would be remiss on either side of the ball if you're not finding out what's going on.
Yeah.
And if there's nothing, then you're no worse off. But if they're doing your work for you, let them do their work for you.
Yep, there you go. Oh, before we go to the break, one more time, it's medlineplus.gov. And the other one for folks who perhaps need some help taking care of insulin payments or coverage.
Sure. So as we know, it's all over the media. The cost of insulin has skyrocketed. It's like four times as much in the last 10 years. So a lot of people are having trouble affording their insulin. And there's a clearinghouse called insulinhelp.org, all one word, insulinhelp.org. And it's sponsored by the American Diabetes Association. And they give you directions and phone numbers to contact insulin manufacturers. They tell you what information you're going to need to have ready, and they can help you get either free or low-cost insulin. They also have a list of plenty of other websites that provide discounts for prescription drugs.
So go to insulinhelp.org for more information. When we come back from the break, our something good is going to be to check in and catch up with the band Bonzo Squad. Learn more about the musicians in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
312-981-7200. Before we turn the station over to Nick D, we want to know if you've got something good to tell us. Well, you do have something good to tell us. It's whether or not you want to share it. At the end of the day, no matter what happens, something good has happened, and there's something for you to be grateful for or something that makes you smile. I'm thrilled to for my something good, which is the chance to hang out and hear some great music from Bonzo Squad. I wanted to bring them back in the studio and find out more. They're playing every Thursday night at Alive One. You can go to aliveone.com to find out about their performances. But Corbin, come on a little bit closer to the saxophone player that everyone heard a little bit earlier. Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur. And was the saxophone your instrument of choice when you started playing music?
I started
music?
Playing clarinet in fifth grade and still play clarinet now. But
we, at one point, I believe we've had 18 or 19 clarinetists in studio from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble I've learned that many musicians start on the clarinet. And I'm like, where are all the clarinet players? So I'm glad to hear that you still play.
Yeah.
Were there influences in your house to play music, or was it something that you were kind of like, this is what I want to do?
It was more of an outside thing where the school program had a really great band director, and,
uh-huh.
and he got us involved with it and then just kept encouraging us to keep playing.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it, to have someone to inspire and encourage you?
Definitely.
Because, I mean, you know, that really can make all the difference in the world. Well, I'm glad that somebody hung in there with you and influenced you. And Zach or Andrew?
Andrew.
Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
So where are you from originally?
I'm born and raised in Chicago.
Well, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Lincoln Park High School.
Oh, to Lane Tech. All right, then fine. Blue and gold, whatever. Actually, Lincoln Park has a great arts program.
Yeah, it does. I was in the jazz band there, and that was a really good experience.
It sounds like it, yeah. So when you were in high school playing jazz, though, I mean, was it the kind of thing where your parents were like, okay, that's nice and all, but make sure you get a practical degree?
They were very supportive of me. I started playing piano when I was 5.
Oh, well, there you go.
They were, yeah, very supportive.
Yeah. Dude, what kind of music did you grow up listening to?
I listened to a lot of classical and like hair metal on the radio, and then I slowly broadened my taste.
I love that range. Wait, did you say classical and hair metal?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Why? That's not unfortunate.
No, it's fine.
It's all good. What do you, if I was to grab your phone and listen to your playlist, what would I find?
You'd hear a lot of top 40 songs I have to learn for weddings.
Outstanding. So do you know who plays for the weddings?
Just we all play in different bands. Yeah,
all different bands. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was gonna say, well, if they want to hire you guys, if they want to hire Bonzo Squad,
They can contact Bonzo Squad and we'll make that work.
All right, Bonzo Squad plays some great music. So Zach or Andrew?
Zach.
There's two Andrews, a Zach and a Corbin, and I jumbled it all up. I started with the right one. Zach, where are you from originally?
I'm from Deerfield.
From Deerfield, all the way up north.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And were the drums something that your parents encouraged, or was that something that you just
I don't think any. I don't know how many parents really want their kids to play
drums. Not many. I'm going to go ahead and say not many.
But my mom was in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra choir, and my dad was a piano player. He really wanted me to play piano.
Sure.
But I started playing drums when I was 4. I was dragging out pots and pans and hitting them with spoons, and they eventually just gave in.
Yeah. And what I've learned, and listeners know, I've mentioned this before, going all the way back to the very first band we ever had, I learned that whoever has the drums, that's where rehearsal usually happens.
that's accurate.
Is that still? Do you guys have to go hang out at your place? You guys are working in a studio now.
We have a practice space. Mm-hmm. Corbin and I both play in a band called Bumpus that's been around Chicago for decades, and we have a practice space. That's where we do most of our rehearsing.
Right, so the neighbors are probably happy about
that. No, it's a practice space facility.
Okay, and I'm saying the neighbors are happy that you don't have your drum set at home.
I have my drum set at home.
They're not happy.
They're not happy.
By the way, 312 says, Randy Rhoads and other metal bands have lead guitarists that started in classical. So the money is in metal.
Yeah.
That's good to know. How about you, Andrew? Where are you from originally?
I am from Aurora, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago.
Yes.
Excellent.
I was just there on Saturday night. We were at the Aurora Tap House raising money for the law enforcement for the
nice.
Five police officers.
Yeah,
it's a great community. Mm-hmm. I love Aurora. So what was your first instrument as your bandmates giggle at you?
Yeah, I started a little bit on piano, but I quickly switched to bass.
Yeah, the bass sounded amazing. I mean, you guys all sounded amazing. I don't want to single anybody out and make anybody. It was hard. I'll have to go back and listen to the keyboard because that was the mistake I made. I'm like, oh, they're stop playing. But it was because I couldn't hear the keyboard coming.
You didn't
through.
Miss much.
Shush. Shush.
That's not true.
I love how much fun you guys seem to have. Do you guys have fun playing together, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tons of fun.
It seems like it was a good time. I hope you'll come in and hang out with us again and play some live music. I won't scream in the middle of a set next time. I'll just assume that you're not done.
Please do.
You like the screaming. Are you guys? How are you guys feeling about playing the residence at Live One?
It's been great.
I mean, he's right behind you. The owner's right there, so you have to say nice things.
Yeah, it's been great. We'd actually like to give a shout out to Janet and Thomas behind the bar.
Yay!
Hey, buds.
Hey, guys.
Always good to always take care of your crew there. That's a good idea. Is there a website for Bonzo Squad?
BonzoSquad.com.
BonzoSquad.com. And you've got shows at Alive One. Do you have any other shows you want to promote?
Or not at the moment.
Are you recording? I know you're recording as well, right?
We have two albums in the vault
that
we're trying to get ready to put out. And when we're ready to put the first one out, we will have a big release show. And we'll keep everybody posted on where that's going to be.
Excellent. Do you have any nights where you're like, okay, this audience? Is there some? Do you have any tricks in your bag for when an audience is just not vibing? You know, you're just like, we got to bring these people to life, or does it not matter? You guys are going to do your thing. Because like for comics, we have a bag of tricks. You know, we try everything, whether we go dirty or we try to go smart. And at some point, you just go, this is the show we're having tonight.
I think what we end up doing whenever
it's not clicking with the audience is we end up, so like we have our giant catalog of material that we play, and then whenever it feels like it's maybe not right, we just start making songs up.
Oh.
And like we start just playing and jamming, and
I love that. Right, then you start doing it for you.
Yeah,
you know,
and I mean, everybody kind of starts to feel that energy in the room, and usually those nights are pretty fun. They end up pretty fun.
I love that. Now, Dr. Tynes, I didn't want to exclude you from Tell Me Something Good.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me something good tonight?
Well, as of April 6th, I will no longer be the president of the Illinois State Medical Society.
We're going to miss you as the president.
I will hand off my tiara.
Mm-hmm.
And how does he feel about scepter. That? Yeah, he's not too happy about getting that passed off. But yes, yeah, so there's a President's Night dinner at the ISMS annual meeting, and we're having a live band, and it's my theme for the evening is Women Doctors Rock.
Oh, great.
And we're going to have people do a photo booth with some props and be able to take pictures of themselves looking like rock stars, and it's going to be awesome.
That's a blast.
Peoria, Illinois.
Rocking yes. it in Peoria.
Rocking
I know. Well, I thank both of you, John Culver and Dr. Kathy Tynes, for joining us tonight. And Bonzo Squad, again, go to AliveOne.com for their Thursday residency. They play every Thursday night at 9 p.m. in the back room. Thank you so much, David, for bringing in the band, and our friend Megan for bringing everybody in. Thank you so much. It's time to turn the station over to Nick DiGilio.